Hey party people, it is September the 14th, 2021, and it is 7:56 p.m. here in Egypt. What's happening? So this is my second day of school. It's my second day or third? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's my third day. And I'm here to tell y'all, this is literally an oasis of children. I didn't believe it. I said it on Facebook earlier, but I'm about to go into the wilderness because I'm about to experience a miracle. I'm already experiencing a miracle. So here's the situation. In earlier podcasts, I kind of told y'all about the culture of the school, meaning a big push. Like, this school really does push that under the right circumstances, with the right person, with the right combination of people, you can absolutely have a classroom that runs itself. So basically, you know, you can come in as a teacher, and if you have what it takes, you can absolutely walk in, and all you really have to do is kind of monitor, manage the lesson. And the kids can do everything on their own. They can do everything on their own. And I've always been a proponent of that. I've always thought about having class governments, like each of my classes being able to govern themselves. But there was never enough time, nor was it a supported concept in where I've been. So I, you know, was never able to really test out my theory. And lo and behold, I fly 14 hours, 2 days to come to a place that feels like the ghetto, but in the same breath, now that I've met these kids, I'm realizing, no, this is a serious thing. And in one of my other podcasts, I remember I was telling y'all, like, I want to be like Miss Dahlia. You know, Miss Dahlia is like, I don't do nothing. I show up, and she's right. She was in a class across from me today, and when I tell you, I looked across that hallway, and I saw a kid writing on the board. I saw another one pulling up the lesson on the Promethean board, and then I saw kids, like, she was like, get in your seat. She wasn't hollering. She wasn't doing nothing. And these kids were was managing themselves. It was just beautiful. So my first day, you know, I walk in the class and the kids are like on me. And I'm not really listening to them. I'm just like, everybody sit down. Because I'm trying, you know, I'm all about classroom management. So I'm like, I just need everybody to sit down. And they're like, miss. And I'm like, just sit down. So I have this one student, this young girl, and she was like, Miss, I've already read the book. Miss, I know the answer to this. Miss, do you want me to do that for you? And I was like, no, because the Promethean board pen, they stressed to us, do not drop it. Do not let the kids use it if you think they're going to drop it, because it's a very expensive pen. So we all kind of came into this fold with this anxiety, apprehension about letting the kids actually even use the technology. But more than once during orientation, people were like, no, absolutely. If the kids can do something, let them. So today was that day, y'all, because when I tell y'all, I go up 4 flights of stairs at least 4 to 5 times a day on a regular day. Like, we do have an elevator, but there are still parts of the building that aren't elevated, that doesn't have an elevator, and you got to take them stairs. Not only that, I live on the 3rd floor in my building, so I come home to come up another 6 flights of stairs. So my thighs and my head, my brain, it's a lot coming up and down them stairs all the time. I've never done this many stairs, you know, for a job ever. It's a lot of stairs. So, but I had my full class today was my last class during 9th period, and I was like worn out. I was just like, I was so worn out. When I came up the stairs, I like found a little corner while the kids were going to class and started just literally doing yoga. Like, literally doing yoga. Like, don't bother me right now. I just need to, like, center myself. Because these stairs are a motherfucker. So, get into class, and my class know-it-all, once again, every day, she's been like, Miss Spencer, do you want me to pull, no, Miss Kamika, do you want me to pull up the lesson? And yesterday, I let her do it, and the day before, I didn't, because I was very scared she was going to drop the pen, because I don't know this kid. But today, I was like, girl, here. Then the other kid was like, Miss Kamika, can I put the today's lesson on the board here? Now, yesterday, it was a young man who did it, but it was taking him forever. And he came over and was like, what is this word? And I was like, I can't have you do this. I'm going to have to put you somewhere else. So this other female student was like, I can do it. And guess what? She did. Was the handwriting the best handwriting? No. But did I have to do it? No. Could they read it? Yes. And I could reiterate it to them. And whatever didn't make sense, I could come in and just kind of correct it. And we set up. So we get it, you know, we getting set up. And I got the little pen. I'm teaching my lesson. We're doing a grammar lesson over possessives and all of this. And every now and then, because I'm new, I'll do something and the pen won't work. And let me tell y'all something. As soon as that pen don't work, that little technology girl, she be up out of her seat. Let me do it, miss. I got it, miss. Here, girl, take this pen, and this is what I need. I need to be able to highlight. So she clicks it, sees the little arrow, clicks it again. The pull-up menu comes up. The option comes up. Pointer options comes up. She clicks pointer options, and then she clicks highlighter. And she's like, here you go, miss. And I was like, you know what? You just stand up here at the board. You just stand right here. And I got you, because these kids are all also, most of these kids that are volunteering, they also know the content. They also know the content. So it's just like, I'm flabbergasted. I don't use that word like a lot, ever. Never. But I'm flabbergasted, y'all, because they're still sixth graders. They are sixth graders. And we give them no power in America, like none. We just expect them to be smart. But these kids ready to work. So I have her stand at the board, and we're reading. We're all, the kids have whatever's on the board, they have it on their tablets. So they have their tablets, and they have their copy books. So we're just doing the lesson, whatever. And whenever I need something highlighted, she highlights it. And then there are times where I can have her sit down and go ahead and get in her copybook, and I may call another kid up to, when we get to like questions and stuff like that, where we can play games, and you know, they play for homework. You know, like sometimes I'll say, okay, y'all got 5 questions. If you miss 3 of the questions, you get homework. If you get 3 of the questions right, no homework. So we kind of play that game this week, because I'm not fully up and running with my weekly lessons yet. And by that I mean, all the classes that I have, I've had the weekly lessons written up for, but that class and that class, 2 of my classes, I don't have any students for yet. So I have to move these lessons around, like keep advancing these lessons until they can figure out what to do with it. So information is getting moved around, but by the end of next week, I'll be good. I have a timekeeper. This is the student who lets me know, Miss Spencer, we got 5 minutes left. It's time to close this class up, because in the last 5 minutes, we review. If they're good, I let them, give them a little talk time. Plus, they have lockers in the hallway, and they have to prepare to go home. So a lot of times, I can let them go out one at a time to go get whatever books they need, put them in their backpacks, come back into the class. And then there's this room for whatever the school needs for them to do or to know. So I got my little timekeeper. Then I have what are called my discipline kids. These are kids who the other kids respect. They might be a little scared of them. I don't know. But none of these kids want to be, they don't want nobody telling on them. Now, they don't have the aggression that I've witnessed, you know, at home, where if somebody tells on you, know, like I say, snitches get stitches where we from. Not here. Snitches get power. Snitches get riches. If you end up being a disciplined kid in a classroom, you get all the respect, because kids will be begging you, please do not write my name on that list. For the love of God, do not write my name on that list. So there, it's a respected, coveted role. it is so respected. And it's weird because I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't. Like, I've never seen, and I've never taught sixth grade, so there's a whole nother level to it that I was kind of like, I don't mess with sixth graders. They still, you know, sixth grade is when people get in their periods and stuff, so there's a certain amount of, like, energy and lack of energy that's happening that I'm just like, I ain't ready to deal with this. But because these kids that have been here since kindergarten or first grade or second grade or third grade, there's a, like I said, there's a school culture where they are given these responsibilities as soon as they are able to handle them. And those who handle it tend to be those who are also academically sound in whatever area you're giving them that responsibility for. And even if they're not academically sound, the fact that they have this coveted role makes them a little bit more interested in being academically sound. So it's crazy. The disciplined person. Okay, and then I have I have the know-it-all, right? My walking, my walking spoiler alert. And then I have, like, three kids under her who are also walking spoiler alerts, but they know better not to be spoiler alerts, but they're brilliant. They answer all the questions. They know they're possessive. They'll even ask a question, like, today, we were playing a little homework game, so they had to put the right article with the word hour. So it's either A or N. It's not the. And that's not right. I'm not saying that right. And. Yeah, articles. So the word was hour, H-O-U-R. So the little girl came up and they do the drum roll, because I didn't even ask them to do the drum roll, but I was like, if she gets it right, y'all don't have to do no homework, but if she get it wrong, y'all got to do homework. So she looked at it and she already knew the rule. It's a consonant, so it has to be a hour. So I said, okay, are you sure? She's like, yes. Are you positive? She's like, yes, ma'am. It's a consonant. So I said, now listen, if you believe she's right, raise your hand. Everybody raises their hand. If you believe she's wrong, raise your hand. One kid raises his hand. I said, why is she wrong? Why would she be wrong? He's like, I don't know. I just want to be different. I promise you, he said that. So I was like, no, listen, y'all. Think about the sound the letter H is making in the word hour. So light bulbs come on. But she's still convinced, no, it's a consonant. So I said, all right. I give her the Promethean board pen. She taps the little light bulb, and she is so wrong. And everybody's like, it makes a vowel sound. Oh, no. And they just falling apart because now they got homework. I don't blame them. So then, but it was five questions. So I was like, of course. And I don't want to give them homework right now. Like, I'm telling y'all, it's the job is overwhelming. Because the system is set up, I just have to forget how the systems are set up where I'm from. Because where I'm from, they make sense. I've just never wanted to be obedient to them. And now I got one that doesn't make sense that I absolutely want to be obedient to, but it's a difficult system. So anyway, I pull up another kid. They get it right. No homework. I have a roll call person. Yesterday, I'm trying to call roll. Now, mind y'all, I'm telling y'all, these kids' names, if you think being at a black school is something, try an Arabic school. Because I'm going to tell y'all, I got kids with like five names. Like Muhammad Abdul Salam Abdul Salif Ramin. It's like a whole five name. I don't know. I don't want to like to make a joke because I was about to say El Ramadan, but yeah, like whole names on top of names. So I got a lot of Muhammads. Like I said, I have a lot of Akbars. And I realized that the H, if you see a word that looks like Ahmed, it's Ahmed. Or if you see a name that looks like Rahman, it's Rahman. So the H, depending on how it appears, is actually a K sound. So the kids, you know, I told them, don't let me mispronounce your name. So I'm actually learning how to say these names. Well, anyway, I have a roll sheet that has the kids' pictures on them. And I was misreading the roll sheet because I was like, why is this? Why do I see all of y'all on here, but you're not seated the way you appear on the roll? Here she comes. She's like, Miss, let me look at it. These kids are like grown to me now. Miss, let me look at it. She turns it. She skews the paper once again, the way the system is set up. And she says, this is how we're seated. So I said, tell you what, take roll for me. And don't take too long. Just take, make sure everybody's here. Don't take too long. So I can now move on. I can now move on and get back and keep these other kids on track while she's taking roll. And guess what? They're letting her take roll. Nobody is acting all crazy. Nobody is like, tell her I'm not here. It's none of that. Like, it's really weird. So I have my roll person. Who else do I have? I know I'm missing somebody because I'm trying to remember all of this off the cuff. But basically, whatever I need a person for that I find myself having to do that one of these kids can do, I can absolutely assign them that. And that is their role in the class. So it's a governing body within a governing body. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to have little bilingual sixth graders who can't sit still in their seats, be given an opportunity to have equity in the class. And that's what gives them the excitement to behave. And it works. Now, one of the things I told myself today was, yeah, but you gotta cultivate this type of thing. You have to nurture it. It can't just be the expectation on day one. They have to come into it knowing that it's the expectation. And I really respect that about where I am. I really respect the fact that these kids do not want you to call home. I don't know what is going on inside these houses. I don't know if they're getting beat. I don't know if they're getting their ears pinched. I don't know if they being denied dinner if they get in trouble. But they do not want to get into trouble. They do not. By any means necessary. Do not call my mama. Do not call my mama. Do not call my mama. Don't call my daddy. Don't call my grandmother. Do not, please, for God, please. So that's what this is. And I'm fortunate that I know when I get in front of kids, I can teach them. I'm blessed in that way. So it's on and popping. Yeah, I'm gonna be tired. And yeah, due to the dietary restrictions that I'm dealing with, I'm gonna finally get back down to my prize fighting weight. But I'm okay, y'all. I know y'all like, you need to eat. I am eating, but I didn't really eat before. Like, you know, I'm a practicing vegetarian. I eat meat every now and then, but now that I'm in Egypt, it's just, I'm not attracted to it. A, it's too hot to be eating meat. And B, I really get the itis. So at work, I don't eat a lot anyway, because you don't want me sleepy in front of your kids. You do not, because we're going to all be taking a nap. I get the itis really quick. And it could be because I'm older. You know, I'm 50, so I'm back in nap mode. I need to lay down every now and then. So I don't eat a lot anyway at school. It's not until I get home. And then I can actually cook and, you know, experiment. So today I made this rice, fava bean, tomato, ginger. I used some chicken bouillon. What else was in it? Tomato, rice, ginger. That might have been it. It was a vegetarian dish. But I made enough so that I have leftovers for tomorrow and possibly tomorrow night and the next day. So don't worry about me. I'm good. I'm not suffering in any way. But yeah, the food here is expensive, but that's probably good. Probably don't need to be eating it, all of that anyway. And I'm really learning how to not have food stored. You know, because I will tend to buy food, canned goods that will be in my pantry until it's time to make donations for Thanksgiving. So I'm really learning how to just take what's necessary. Eat what's necessary. And you'll actually probably save the money that you're complaining about. I'm talking to myself. You'll actually save the money that you complain about having to spend if you just learn how to eat what you need and buy what you know you're going to utilize within the next 2 to 3 days. So I'm really happy that it's teaching me that because, when I left Dallas, my dad was even like, yeah, you left all of them spices and canned goods and you could have gave that stuff away. Yeah, you know, you're right, Dad. You're right. And I should have. But I wasn't thinking. And it was wasteful, you know. And that's not who I strive to be in this particular point in time. So back to school. Now, my intensives, they are special group. It's all boys and one girl. And it's right now I have 5 boys and 1 girl. And they don't really... It's an attention span issue. It's keeping their attention and being able to teach their lessons in a way that they will learn them. So what I had to do was abandon the book. Because every time I started reading or they, you know, asked them to read, A, they were reluctant. And B, when I started reading, they, you know, sometimes you get kids that just blank stare at you or they just lose attention. And the thing about these Egyptian kids is they kind of have this ownership over whether they want to pay attention to you or not. Like, you have to earn their attention, most of them. So every time I would start reading or ask one of them to read, it was taking too long, and we don't have that much time because I have to go pick them up, go down 3 flights of stairs to the classroom. So I was like, fuck it, forget the book. I said, all of these words y'all saying, I'm about to tell you the story. So here I go. I'm talking about Hannibal. I'm talking about him being from Carthage and how he whipped Rome's butt. And now, 18 years later, he's hiding out in Bithynia, Syria. And he's, you know, co-opted with this king to help overthrow Rome. It was just this, I'm just in it. And these kids are looking at it like, they're looking at me like I'm telling them, like they're watching The Godfather. So I was like, okay. So now I got to figure out how to get them to read. Well, they were so profoundly interested in the story after I told it in the way that I told it that they were like, I'm going to go back and read it to see if what you were saying is true. Doubt my shit, please. Right? That's a damn it. That's a line from Damn It's poem. Shout out to Damn It. Joseph LaCour. So I'm hoping that they did go home and explore it. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out if this attention span thing is indeed a thing or if it's just them being 6th graders. But because they are kids that I have to go get, I'm realizing that there's something is there. There's a disconnect somewhere. It may be in their process of learning. Like maybe, you know, maybe in 2nd grade there was family issues at home, so they weren't at school that much. And so now there's a deficit there. I don't know. I really don't care because at the end of the day, I have to get through on some level. I'm not saying that I have to be 100% successful with each of these kids, but they got tests to pass. They have lessons to learn. They have homework to do. And I have to figure out how to get them to do that. So can I have the same kind of governing body in my pullout classes that I do in my regular classes? Absolutely. If I can figure it out. So I'm going to do that with all of my classes if I can. And if I can't fully do it, I'm going to do it as far as I can. Because what I'm realizing is, once again, these kids having equity in the classroom is really, really empowering. And it actually allows me to work based on what they pay me. You know, because any teacher will tell you, they don't pay me enough. They don't pay me enough. I could be making 80 a year and you don't pay me enough to be working with some of these kids. It's a heavy job to educate kids. It's a heavy job to get up every day and not just deal with your kids, but you and your friends. All y'all adults. I done got a little aggressive, didn't I? I didn't mean that. Let me back up. But it's a lot. It's a lot because, you know, when you're really in tune, you realize, and I'm really just teaching a younger version of your mama. You know, this ain't you. So kids come to class and they're like, Miss, when is the test? And I automatically know that's not you asking it. That's your mama asking. And the beautiful part is the parents cannot interact with the teachers. It's bittersweet, but the culture here is very do as I say. I don't care how old you are. These people talk at you and not to you. So I'm actually a little glad that I'm being protected by a director and by leaders of the school from the parents. Because it's just like the kids, they're aggressive. They're aggressive. And they believe that if they're paying money, then you should serve them. And I get that to a point. But I'm also a human being. Teachers are human beings. And a lot of times, parents are so concerned about their kid that they don't realize, I didn't get hired to just teach your kid. I didn't. I got hired to serve all of these children. And some of these children don't even have parents. They're being raised by guardians. Therefore, your child's needs may not always come before another child's needs. And that's just what that is. And you have to make parents understand that. And most parents don't want to. So today was a blessing for me. I have an oasis of children who are excited about having me as their teacher, and I'm excited about having them as my students. And when I talk about things like, okay, so today, one of the things I had to stop them, and I literally came into the classroom and said, this is the last class of the day. Miss Spencer, Miss Kamika is really, I've had it up to here, and I put my hand way above my head. I said, I've had it up to here, and I said, not because of you, I said, but because I keep having to go up and down these stairs. I literally said that. Y'all, these stairs are like Candyman. So they're all looking at me now. And I said, so I need y'all to focus. And then I stopped and I said, wait a minute. Somebody tell me what is focus. What is, define focus for me. So hands go up. Focus is paying attention. I said, yeah, sort of. Focus is when you do what you're supposed to do. Yeah, sort of. They're sixth graders, so I don't expect them to be able to say what it is I'm thinking. But they're on point. They're like, yeah, it's paying attention, is doing what you're supposed to do. But I said, but it's intentional. I said, focus is intentional because there's a goal on the other side of paying attention. I said, you're paying attention to me now, but there may not be an intention behind you paying attention. I want you to pay attention to me because you want to be a doctor. And right now, this is your education. This is a way to get there. I wanted to be a writer, but it wasn't until I was a grown adult out of school that I actually was able to realize writing as an actual occupation. So y'all will be adults one day too. So it's important that you focus with intention and understand that you're in school because you want to be an engineer. You're in school because you want to be a doctor. You're in school because you want to be an athlete. You're in school because your mama made you come, right? But that's still an intention, because when you get home, she's going to ask you, how was your day? And you're either going to say fine and go to your room, or you're going to say it was fine because, it was great because, it was bad because. And that shows that you were focused, that you actually were in tune, you were connected with what happened that day. And that's what I want for y'all. Because I am too far from home. I flew 14 hours, a total of 2 days, to come and be your teacher. And I really appreciate y'all for being quiet and listening to me and actually understanding that my heart is speaking right now and not my mind. Right? So one of them asked me the other day about, you know, how do you stay focused when, what did she say? This was my know-it-all. She basically said something to the effect of, how can you be happy when there's so much unhappiness in the world? And I said, you choose to focus on it. You just focus on it. I said, you can focus on the bad stuff or you can focus on the good stuff. It's a choice. I said, but if you keep your mind happy and your heart happy, you'll remain happy. And for some weird reason, these kids understood that. But it's because the culture of the school really felt, it really does, y'all. It focuses on the whole child. So when you start talking about teamwork make the dream work, it's not just a rhyme to these kids. They really understand, well, if I don't help her, then I'm not winning. So we do all kinds of little fun things right before class starts that talks about the we versus the I principle. And I'm trying to think of this little, I'm revising the little jingle that was on Good Times where they was like, we're tighter than pantyhose, two sizes small. That one. So I'm going to revamp it. I'm going to take the pantyhose words out, but I'm going to revamp it. And when I get it revamped, hopefully by the end of the school year, I can actually do a podcast from my classroom and y'all can actually hear these kids. It's a beautiful thing to hear them speaking German, French, Arabic, and English, and to be able to actually kind of communicate with them, with the exception of the German. I don't speak German at all. Gesundheit. That's it. Volkswagen. Yes. So, and I'm not really interested in the language. I got Floro for that. So, that's where we at. I am going to be batshit crazy. I did find myself today just like walking around the classroom singing because they wouldn't be quiet. Because they sixth graders, and I had to remember, I had to reconnect myself to the fact that these are still kids. Yeah, they act like grown people with these jobs that they got, but at the end of the day, ain't nobody getting paid, so they don't, they, you know, the other kids in the class, I'm constantly having to say, turn around. One little girl was like, he keeps talking to me. I said, well, you're facing him. Of course he's going to talk to you. And they have these, you know, they have those glass shields, the COVID shields in their desk, so half the time I have to really make sure I'm teaching on my feet because they can't see the board. These are new obstacles, which I'm really hoping that we start realizing that we're just going to have to revise these buildings and these schedules for these kids. I really don't think I should be teaching 26 kids in a day. I think they need to split them up and say, hey, you guys come, maybe even work, you know, move the work days to 4 days a week where you come to me 2 days, this half group comes 2 days, and this other half comes 2 days. I don't know. I don't claim to know, but I know that what we have right now in times of COVID is not going to work because kids don't have the same sense of urgency about their safety that we do as adults. And by the time our kids come in from playing outside, it's masks on the ground. It's masks in desks. Kids are walking around hugging on each other with no masks on. And you're like, where's your mask? But you do know that by that time, whatever may be happening, it's too late. So, and it's not enough teachers to monitor this. And we do have to let them play outside. So I just think all of this, there is no getting back to nothing. There is the normal is old. We got to get to the new normal. We got to restructure these buildings. We got to restructure these systems. We got to restructure how technology works as an educational tool for our kids. But right now, this is what we're doing. And I believe that if I can teach sixth graders to have an economy inside the classroom that works, that they'll be more prepared to move into a future identity as COVID compliant students that can handle educating themselves. They can seek out the knowledge and they can partner up and they can educate themselves and they can have people like me who they can call and say, hey, we've hit a little bump in the road and we need your help. And I go, insert your credit card number. And as soon as that is cleared, I'll help you out. But that's what the future is going to look like. It's going to, if we don't get this under control. It seems like we just wait for, people are like, well, everybody that's going to get COVID, we let them die and then we'll just keep moving forward. It seems that way, but we can't keep moving forward like this, because what I don't want to see are any kids dying or laid up in the hospital. I'm not interested in that. So that was my day to day, and I'm about to kind of disappear for a bit. I will. I'm trying to commit only to the podcast. I will not be on Facebook for real, because I really have to. I'm serious about getting this class culture together. So this is it. This is where we will join. This is where we will unite. This is where we will fellowship. Please feel free to record a response if you want it to be played during any podcast. The subscriptions will be open on the 24th. I want to thank all the new subscribers. I really appreciate y'all. I don't even know what I'm going to do with the money. I wasn't expecting it. And so I'll figure that out. I want to give a shout out to my sister-in-law who has a birthday coming up. Al, we love you. And we are very, very glad to have you as a part of our family. All the September babies. Tony Patterson, your birthday's coming up on the 27th. Shout out to you. All my Virgos headed into Libra land. And I think that's it. But yeah, dog, these stairs, man, y'all wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. I might as well be going up to heaven. It's so many stairs. And they concrete stairs. I don't know. What can we make, like, cushion stairs? I don't know. Can we put cushions on stairs? Anyway. So that's that. If there's anything you need or want, just hit me up. Send me a, I don't even know how you, oh, mess. You can message me. If there's anything I can answer. If there's something you want to see, I will be going to Alexandria in about 2 weeks. And then I have a small break, a very, very small break in October. And I'm going to go to Luxor, to the Valley of the Kings, and possibly to the Temple of Hathor. Hathor is in Dendera, and I don't know how far that is from Luxor, but on the map, this stuff looks really, really close. But if I don't make it on this little bitty trip, I'll do it before I come back to Texas. Most of the stuff that I'll do will be over the Christmas break. We don't get a lot of days off. It's not like in Texas where by the time you finna catch a case, you get a little reprieve of a date. It's not like that at all here. I said it earlier, they're gonna work the dog shit out of you. But if you go with the flow and realize that it's so kind of slightly, I don't want to say unorganized, because it's not unorganized, it's just organized chaos. That's what it is. It's super organized chaos. But if you accept that it's that, if you don't fight it, you'll survive it. That's truth. And that's where I am right now. And I'm taking it seriously. I'm also up to chapter 8 in revising my novel. So I'm really excited. It's done. I'm just editing. I'm editing and revising. So I'm really excited that I'm making goals, and I'm about to buckle down and make all of this stuff happen. So I will be coming home with a novel that'll be ready to publish. And I'm watching a lot of Arabic movies now. So, yeah, I'll be making recommendations. There's one that I'm getting ready to watch called The Blue Elephant. Part 2 is on Netflix. But it was recommended that I see part 1 first. So I got to go buy it has to be downloaded. The guy at my job has it. So he's like, just bring me a disc. So I'm going to do that. I'm counting down the days. I'm figuring it out. It's a beautiful life. I hope y'all are doing well. My mom told me it was like you know, low 90s now. We're moving into a real fall in Texas. So I'm happy for y'all because I was told that August was the heat was really intense. And I can tell every now and then the little Texas cousin of the sun comes down here. But for the most part, this is tolerable heat. And I can't believe these kids be out there playing in it. Like, I don't even know. Like, they just be out there. I guess I would be out there too. When I was little, the sun didn't affect me much either. So that's what it is. I don't eat lunch in the lunchroom, so I can't even tell you what it looks like. I haven't been in there. And most of these kids bring their lunches. The morning ritual is something else. They're lined up and the director is up on his pedestal, and it's a literal, like, he's literally on this like balcony with the bullhorn, telling us what to do. Do not go there. Hello. Please turn around. Turn around now. It's so, oh my God, y'all. I be feeling like I'm in like, I've never been in like a military camp. I've just never seen anything like it. Now I've seen, when I was at Harmony, kids did line up, but the person with the bullhorn was feet level with us. They was on the same playing field. This is literally a person on a balcony, you know, speaking down upon us with a bullhorn. So it feels very 1945 Germany to me. Because the only time I've ever seen anything like that is on TV or in the history books. So I apologize if somebody's a little offended at what I said, but that's my frame of reference. So give me another frame of reference and we'll go from there. Don't cry for me, Argentina. Anyway, so that's that. I'm finna get off of here because I still need to journal. And try to get this book read. The Man Who Lived Underground by Richard Wright. I had to stop reading it, but I am on page 91 and I don't have that much further to go. It's actually a really good book, dude. This dude, he's happened upon a bank. He's living in the sewer system in New York, and he's now discovering the other worlds that he can get into by breaking through the brick walls behind these different businesses. And he recently discovered a bank and a meat market. And I think right now he's trying to figure out, he saw this white girl opening the safe, and he's memorized the code, and he's coming back to break into this safe. That's where I am, page 91. I recommend this book. It's an interesting read. I wish I'd had a little bit more focus earlier because I'd be done by now, but I'm also not putting any pressure on myself. I'm loving myself in that way where I'm just like, well, you didn't read it like you thought you did. Keep it moving. Don't beat yourself up. Because I will. I will get really mad at myself and have a whole conversation and, you know, put myself on the trial and just go through this whole mental thing. So I'm learning just not to do that to myself. At any rate, all is well here. We haven't had any blackouts lately. The water's been good. The electricity's been good. The air conditioning has not frozen me to death. Here's a little tidbit for you. So my roommate has a boyfriend, right? And she's been trying to get him a job here, right? Uh-huh. So the latest story is, she's like, I don't think he's listening to me. I keep trying to explain to him that he cannot come here if he doesn't have a place to stay. So tonight I literally told her, I said, well, you know, he can't stay here. You cannot go get a certificate of marriage or whatever it is you think you can get, and he cannot be here. But they have this whole thing where if you have somebody in your apartment that doesn't belong, you can get thrown out anyway. And I will become like one of my kids and be a snitch, because this place ain't that big. So I just had to tell her loud and clear tonight, don't do it. Don't bring him up in here. He knows he needs a job, and he's acting like he don't hear you. He's like, he's coming anyway, and this is next week. So I think I'm about to get the material I need to write another book. And if not a book, an epic poem. Because every time I get settled, something else comes up and I'd be like, oh, shit. And you know, I'm a Scorpio, so the intuition of it all is like, God, please just let her be telling me the truth, that she has told him he cannot stay here. Because she's been beautifying the place up. You know, we got plants and shit now, like cooking utensils. She's like moving in. But I'm not that kind of chick. I'm very like forward about what needs to happen, especially when it comes to dealing with dudes. So we're gonna see. I'ma chill on it. We both have things to do. She says she has told him he can't stay here. But I lock my bedroom door anyway, so I'm not really worried. Because he won't be my company, and I won't be the person getting thrown up out of here. And I'm not keeping nobody's secrets. Be good. I appreciate y'all. Peace.